insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. And welcome to Liberal Bane Radio, talk from the left, that's right. We got a Hal Sparks raid going on. Big shout out to Hal Sparks. I would not be as successful as I am right now without the Hal Sparks Mega World Ride program. So thank you, Hal, for joining. I am looking forward to seeing Nerd Halen in on July, I think 20th, I think it is, on Saturday in Fort Worth area. I already have my table reserved, so... me and my wife will be in, we're already going to be in the area, and we got our tickets to make sure we can see Hal. So we got Hal coming in. We got 100 people rating over on Twitch. We got a bunch of people coming in over on YouTube as well. Appreciate y'all for coming in on both sides very much. If you have the opportunity to do so, one thing I do need, we're 15 away from getting 1,000 subscribers over on YouTube. So go to liberaldanradio.com. And hit that subscribe button. And once we do that, I can start getting the customizable loyalty badges over there instead of the generic plain boring ones. So thank you so much again for doing that. Other ways to support the show, you can cheer with bits over on Twitch. Amazon Prime doesn't cost you a dime, as Hal will tell you. Thank you, Nerd Misha, for the resubscription. Nerd Misha just resubscribed with Prime. Thank you so much. On cue, thank you so much, like me and Nerd Misha right there. that's great. That's the second time that that's happened on this show, or at least it happened with Aaron, I think, on my Nerdy Dan channel. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff. You could become a Liberal Danimal over on YouTube, patreon.com/liberaldan, Venmo, Liberal Dan, just friends and family, you're not buying anything. You can go to liberaldan.com, click the Buy Me a Cider button as well. So Josh goes, I got a new Bluetooth speaker and Dan sounds fantastic. Thank you very much. People say I have a voice for radio. Hopefully I don't have a face for radio too. So there you go. But yes, thank you so much. We got Linda Liu, Wifflepoof, Dr. Coconium, IA Electrician, Deborah McDonald, Sarah, Shivan, Cosmic, Rose, KJ, Gut Instinct, whole bunch of people coming in over there on Twitch. Thank you all so much for joining. We got Pokey, Kevin, Josh, Metis, Kevin Anderson, Dakota Dave, P-Dubs. Thank you for joining, Robin. We got the Mod Squad, Aaron and Jolie, as always. Appreciate y'all as well. Steve from across the pond, Alarasia, Dakota Dave, if I repeat you, sorry. Just trying to... stream on through and get that. Please remember again to smash that like button. It helps Al Gore get his rhythm. We definitely need Al Gore to have more rhythm. Wifflepoof, thank you so much again. Got a newbie there as well. We got a caller coming in, 815 area code. If you do want to call the show, is 914-803-4131, 914-803-4131. Don't know how much time we are going to have to do too many phone calls, but we do have some phone calls. We do have a ability to do calls Monday and Wednesday. So we'll take the phone call real quick. What's going on? What's the caller? Hello. Well, the caller didn't have the caller didn't press one. So caller, if you want to call, if you want to talk, press one. Otherwise, we'll get back to you. But put your area code in either the chats and the mods will let me know. I do, unfortunately, even though we do have a nice rate in going on right now, I do have a hard out time of 9 p.m. Central, which is 8 p.m. Central right now. It's 8:05 Central right now. I do have to head out of here earlier today than normal. Otherwise, I'd stay longer. But I do appreciate y'all for coming in. Again, we got two things we want to talk about today. First of which is the fact that it's Juneteenth, and second of which is the Louisiana legislature and the Republicans in the Louisiana legislature, more on them as well, because we have a new law that hit the books today that should go away, hopefully. You would hope that this new law would go away rather quickly. The ACLU is already going to challenge it. But in Louisiana, it is now a law. It is now required that every classroom in Louisiana display the Ten Commandments, every single one. That was signed into law today by Louisiana's governor. Louisiana's governor signed that into law. Our little lone mini Donald Trump, he's not as orange, but he's just as bad. He signed that into law today. The law tries to say all sorts of things, citing Supreme Court rulings poorly. 2005 Supreme Court recognized that it's permissible to display the Ten Commandments in government property. Of course, I'm sure in Van Orden versus Perry, it said it is permissible to do that as a general, you know, display of laws in and of themselves and not by themselves. We're going to confirm that real quick just to pull that up. See, Van Orden versus Perry. Thomas Van Orden in two Texas in federal district court arguing Ten Commandments monument on grounds of state capitol building represented an unconstitutional government endorsement of religion. Question, does the Ten Commandments monument on grounds of state capitol building violate the First Amendment? In a 5-4 decision and a 4-justice opinion delivered by William Rehnquist, the court held that the Establishment Clause did not bar the monument on grounds of Texas state capitol building. The plurality deemed the Texas monument part of the nation's tradition of recognizing the Ten Commandments oral meaning. Although the commandments are religious, the plurality argued that simply having religious content or promoting a message consistent with a religious doctrine does not run afoul of the Establishment Clause. Okay, well, there you go. So, but it was a plurality opinion, so it wasn't necessarily a full-on 5-4 opinion. So it was a very loose opinion there. There have been rulings that have basically said that you could have murals of several documents of like all sorts of things. Like if you had like the Magna Carta and the Ten Commandments and other examples of, you know, the Code of Hammurabi, if you had those in sort of a diorama of all sorts of rules, that would be okay because it showed examples of many systems of laws throughout history. But clearly the reasoning here is that they just want one, the Ten Commandments. And they only want the Ten Commandments because that's the ones that they cherry pick out of the other 613 of the rules in the Torah, because they don't care about the ones about not eating shellfish. You tell someone down here in Louisiana that they can't eat shellfish, they're going to be mad at you because they want their shrimp, they want their crawfish, they want their crabs. They're in no way they're going to post up any laws that says you can't eat crabs, any sort of shellfish. You can't tell them to not eat a cheeseburger because you can't mix milk and meat. You can't tell them to not work on the Sabbath. All those other 603 commandments, they're out the window, but for some reason we're going to post these three, right? So it's part of the hypocrisy of conservatism. And of course, if a school wanted to put up Muslim tracts from the Quran or anything else, that would, you know, clearly be something that these conservative hypocrites would be against. But they basically have said that, and they actually listed the particular text of the Ten Commandments that you have to use, which does not include the correct transcription or the translation of the original Hebrew, because the Ten Commandments that they say include, thou shalt not kill. The wording in the original Hebrew version of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt murder. There are plenty of places in the Bible where God orders the Hebrews to kill. Very much so. There's lots of blood in the Bible ordered on the part of God to be done in his name or her name, depending on your opinion of what gender God might have. But yeah, this is a particular, I'm wondering which version of the Bible that they're using, but I'm sure there are going to be people who are going to be upset about the fact that they're not using their version of the Ten Commandments, their translation of the Ten Commandments. And of course, because hypocrisy is a conservative prerequisite, the version of the Ten Commandments that is being posted, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his midservant, nor his cattle, or anything else that is thy neighbor's. And of course, thou shalt not commit adultery is one of the things that, you know, is what is going to be posted on every classroom. Yet they're going to vote for Donald Trump, who committed adultery and coveted many neighbors' wives. He moved in on him like a whatever, you can grab him by the hoo-ha, they let you do it. So says Donald Trump, right? Right, exactly. Deborah McDonald in Twitch, which opens the door to discussing sex with first graders. What does it mean, don't commit adultery? Well, see, sometimes people like the last president. If I was a teacher and one of my students was like, what does it mean, don't commit adultery? I was like, well, our last president was married once, and then he cheated on his wife with somebody else and had sex with somebody else and, you know, multiple times and multiple instances of multiple wives. That's adultery. Use Donald Trump as the example of adultery and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So,
what is having sex?
Yeah, see? Well, you see, and you have to do it to Donald Trump. When you go up to somebody and you grab them by the hoo-ha, they just let you do it. You walk up on them.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. And of course, to everybody who's new, I very much will use that sound clip of Donald Trump saying it is what it is. Not because I think we should all hear Donald Trump, but because we should all understand and remember that Donald Trump said those words in response to when he was asked about all the COVID deaths, because that was his response when he was asked by one of the reporters, what about all the deaths from COVID? It is what it is. Shivani Lane, it does mention adultery. It mentions both. At least the official version, let's flip it over here. The official version here, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then also, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So during the pandemic, I said that maybe we would get more people who are conservatives who might be willing to take who might be willing to socially distance, and who might be willing to take the vaccine if we would just, you know, put the request to both socially distance and get the vaccine by saying thou shalt not COVID thy neighbor's wife, and maybe they would be more likely to actually take social distancing better. Oh, look, we got Rose. Rose decided to join us for the, Rose has joined the raid of the channel. Hey, Rose, how's it going? Good to see you, Rose. Bicycle Mike, I broke the 11th commandment, thou shalt not fall. I'm sorry, Mike. But yeah, it's like they pick and choose the commandments they want to take out of the Torah, and they only want those 10, not the other 603, because according to Jewish law, there's 613 commandments. There's just the big 10 that's shown on the tablets, unless, you know, before Moses dropped one of the tablets, because with History of the World Part 1, I give you these 15, oi, 10 commandments for all to obey. Rose is the cat that loves me like the middle amount. Sophia won't join me for a podcast typically, although Sophia did join me for a brief second on my gaming stream last night. Rose will join me for some scritches every now and then. My wife's on mom's night out, She's out for dinner with a bunch of her mom friends right now, so she's off doing that. So since Rose is not getting any attention from her mom, Rose had to come to me to get some attention. Then Gloria doesn't like me at all. So, yes, MJ Daniel, they pick and choose from the Bible and the U.S. Constitution, which has become my new argument for them. In a lot of the conversations, since I was off work today, I could argue this on Facebook a little bit today with some of them. They told the people were every time I would argue, oh boy, let's violate the Constitution with this one. They would also argue there's nothing in the Constitution that says that there's a wall of separation or separation of church and state. And I would say, really? I bet you say states' rights all the time, don't you? Don't you argue for states' rights? The Constitution never mentions states' rights either. So, I bet you use those words all the darn time too. So, yes, I love all three of my cats, even if my cats don't like me. Or one of them does. One of them runs away from me constantly. So, you're going to give a smile? They say you're a Cheshire cat. You're going to give a smile to the camera? I'm actually a little shook because normally she'll come up and get scratches, but normally she won't lay. It's very rare that she'll come lay down. So maybe she knew I had lots more viewers and she wants to show off. I'm trying to figure out. There you go. Oh, ah, that hurt. You all right there, Rose? But now she's going away. So anyway, so yeah. And then the Ten Commandments shall be displayed with a context statement as followed. The history of the Ten Commandments in American public education, because I guess they figured that they can't get away with it if you just put the Ten Commandments up there. So they want to do an appeal to tradition as to why previously the Ten Commandments were posted. And then it's also saying a public school may display the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, and the Northwest Ordinance. Now, you'd think that they would want the Declaration of Independence to be required and may post the Ten Commandments. No, the Ten Commandments are required. The Declaration of Independence is, you know, it's may. This section should not require a public school governing authority to spend its funds to purchase displays. In order to fund these displays free of charge, the school public governing authority shall do either of the following: accept donated funds to purchase the displays, accept donated displays. The Board of Elementary and Secondary Education shall adopt rules and regulations according with the Administrative Procedure Act to ensure the proper implementation of this section. No later than January 1st, 2025, each public post-secondary education management board shall require institution under its jurisdiction to display the Ten Commandments in each classroom on the institution's campus. You know, and this is, I'm Jewish, and just this is just one of the things that bothers me. And I'm, you know, people say, well, you're Jewish, you should have no problem with that. I absolutely have a problem with it because, A, it's not my Ten Commandments because it doesn't have thou shalt not murder. It says thou shalt not kill. And B, Jewish people don't need or want our religious beliefs spread throughout the sphere. We're not evangelical. This is only for evangelical purposes. But it took all of less than a day for the ACLU Louisiana and other civil liberty groups to file a lawsuit against Louisiana to stop this law from taking place. In Baton Rouge, the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union of Louisiana, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the Freedom From Religion Foundation announced today that they will file a lawsuit to challenge the new Louisiana law that requires all public elementary, secondary, and post-secondary schools to display the Ten Commandments in every classroom. Signed into law earlier today by Jeff Landry, HB 71 requires schools to display the Ten Commandments in every classroom on a poster or framed document that is at least 11 inches by 14 inches. The commandments must be the central focus of the display and printed in large and easily readable font. The bill also requires a specific version of the Ten Commandments, which has been dictated by the state legislature, be used for every display. Displays that depart from this state-sanctioned version of Scripture would violate Louisiana law. So maybe if you wrote it in Hebrew, you would violate the law. I don't know. Yes, Shivani Lane, my Catholic Sunday school did not have them in the classroom. Of course, you don't need it. probably, you know, have it in your own home. The law violates longstanding Supreme Court precedent and the First Amendment. More than 40 years ago, Stone v. Graham, the Supreme Court overturned a similar state statute holding that the First Amendment bars public schools from posting the Ten Commandments in classrooms. No other states require the Ten Commandments to be displayed in public schools. Yes, right. Louisiana might be 47th in education, but we're the first in the nation to require the posting of the Ten Commandments in each and every classroom. The displays mandated in HB 71 will result in unconstitutional religious coercion of students, yada, yada, yada. We're preparing a lawsuit to challenge it. I'm ready. I have two kids that go to public school. One of my kids is in high school. One of my kids is going into middle school. And I am absolutely prepared to tell them to say, look, if you see one of these, thank you for the follow on Twitch, Chimney Lane. If you see one of these and there's no cameras around and no one sees, take it down. Just take it down. I have no problem. CR, 1,000 subscribers. Thank you, CR. Appreciate you. And appreciate everybody, all 15 plus of y'all that went ahead and subscribed to the channel today so that we can hit the 1,000 mark. Y'all are awesome. Appreciate you bigly, as Herr Donald would say. 56 Nixers, my public school offered a pocket New Testament to all students when I was a kid. No conversation about them followed. Nice. So yeah, I have a huge problem with Louisiana doing this. I was going to say on the show, which people are going to step up and do a lawsuit and bring in a lawsuit. But between the time I saw that it happened and saw that it was signed, and now, that's how quickly the ACLU acted. So thank goodness for the ACLU and all the other organizations, including the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which I believe that's the one that Ronald Reagan Jr. is a part of. Thank goodness for all of them for stepping up, stepping forward. Thank you, Eovary, for the follow. Appreciate you. Thanks. So thankful for all of those for stepping up or bringing that case. Now, when that makes it on the docket, who knows? That, of course, is probably going to have to go through the Fifth Circuit, which I'm sure the Fifth Circuit's going to be like, sure, fine, because the Fifth Circuit is the most conservative court of appeals in the country. The Fifth Circuit is very conservative. It's very conservative. It's very overturned as well. A lot of its rulings have been overturned, maybe even less such. But even with the ruling that on Miffy Prestone, that the Supreme Court ruled that the Hippocratic People Oath organization that brought the lawsuit seeking to overturn the FDA ruling on Miffy Prestone that we covered on Monday, even that ruling was overturned by the Supreme Court. The activist conservative Supreme Court told the Fifth Circuit, no, even you went too far. So when the activist conservative Supreme Court says, no, you went too far, you know how activist the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is. And that's out of New Orleans. But even though New Orleans is a liberal city, the Fifth Circuit in and of itself is a very conservative district. And as such, we're often having horrible rulings coming out of it. The Fifth Circuit is Casmeric, yeah, in Texas. Whisper Mason, I thought Miffy Prestone was a Harry Potter spell. They might think it's witchcraft. That's probably for sure. So, but yes, Cynthia Protects, I did see you comment earlier. I am looking forward to meeting you as well at the show in Dallas. I know you had offered to put me up or whatever if we came up visit. I'm bringing my whole family. We got an Airbnb. Very much, let's see, Peter Schnassel, I'm a liberal Dan virgin. Be gentle. Be as gentle as you need me to be. Josh, I demand the measurements in cubits. Very, very well played. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Very good. Very good joke there. Josh, evangelicals do a lot of spreading, it seems. Yes, they do. If you look at the maps that compare like the Bible Belt with various other things, like the Bible Belt is also like the teen pregnancy belt and the chlamydia belt as well. It's concerning in and of itself. So there's that. So let's see. This is Cobalt Chris. The Bible itself argues for separation of church and state. That's true. And most religious people, most religious Jews argue for the separation of church and state. We don't want it. I'm not religious, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm very educated. I went to Jewish day school, Hebrew day school from first grade to eighth grade. I'm very knowledgeable in Jewish things. Even after middle school, I went to high school at a public school, but I went to after school and learned more. So I'm pretty well educated about my faith, and we don't want our faith to be spread via the schools. That's our job, dude. It's our parents. It's your parents' job. It's your synagogue's job. Or if you're other religions, it's a job of your family. It's a job of your if you're Christian, it's a job of your church. If you're Muslim, it's a job of your mosque. Whatever faith you believe in, it's the job of whatever religious institution you belong to and the family you belong to spread whatever religion within your family. And if you want to stand on the street corner and have a sign and tell people that they're going to have some bad thing happen to them in the afterlife, if they don't follow what you're telling, what you're preaching, then you're more than welcome to do that as well. But look, it's not the job of schools. Stay out of the schools. Of course, they say God should be put back in the school. No, if you believe in God, God has never left the schools. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that anybody can do. If you believe in an almighty being that dictates whatever is going to happen to you now and in the afterlife, there's nothing that anybody can do that can remove that all-powerful being from that school that your child is in. What they want, what we all know that they want us to be able to, they want to be able to tell your children and my children what they can read, what they can learn, et cetera. And that's the problem. Remo Williams, funny how parents don't want sex education taught in schools but want teachers teaching religious students weird. Exactly. And that's the other thing that I don't get. That's one of the things that I've never gotten about why they don't want new kids to learn about sex ed. Because it's so illogical. Like to teach somebody about something isn't teaching them how to do something. Like when my mom taught me about condom usage and how to properly use a condom. I mean, she flat out from the beginning was like, look, I'm not giving you permission to have sex. I just want you to have the knowledge on how to protect yourself if you ever do. Like, just because you are aware of something, it doesn't mean you're going to go do it. Like, it's a pretty simple concept. But, I mean, I guess I sort of understand, like, if you're going to take the whole tree of knowledge thing literally from story of Adam and Eve, and oh, you ate the apple, so therefore now you know, and oh no, now you might do the bad things. So, original sin and everything. I don't know. It just doesn't logically make sense that you should prevent people from knowing something because that might make them want to do something. In reality, because, like, especially in high school, where you have guys who are constantly trying to get into the pants of their fellow students, typically, although sometimes it could go the other way around. It should be, you know, there are times when you have women who are trying to, girls, women, young women who are trying to do the same thing the other way around. Hey, you have adult teachers who are trying to sleep with their students at some point, you know, and they should be informed about issues like consent. The students should be informed about issues like how to properly protect themselves so that if the person who's trying to sleep with them tells them a lie, they should know that it's a lie. They should know that, oh, that's not really how it happens. That's not really how it works. And in whether or not they're choosing to abstain or not, guess what? They should know that what is being spread by the people who are trying to manipulate you is a bunch of BS. So Jeff Curry, neighbor with dementia, is mowing my grass. Would it be wrong? Mowing grass, it would be wrong if I told him this properly and it goes into my front porch. Well, what if he took that as it actually goes to your front porch and he like damages your porch? That could be the problem with that there, Jeff. Dean Baker, I was 12 years old and didn't believe babies came from the two people doing the wild thing. See, that's crazy to me. Like, my parents had these three books when I was a kid. And it was like a man's body, a woman's body, and a child's body or something. And each one had, like, drawings of, like, human anatomy and descriptions of human anatomy. And they freely let me read these books because I was freely allowed to educate myself. I didn't treat these books as if they were dirty. I didn't read these books like, ooh, there's a boobie or whatever. I read these books as if I was being informed and educated about these things. And as such, I didn't necessarily view it as taboo. I viewed it as this being an educational thing. It didn't make me want to – that is not the thing that made me want to have sex any quicker or whatever. What probably – besides the raging hormones of a teenager, the thing that probably drove me to want to have sex more was the fact that we live in a society of where we have toxic masculinity that basically defines a young man's worth as his ability to get laid. Like, I was so concerned about, like, what I'm going to be viewed as a loser if I can't get laid, so therefore I need to get laid. Like, that's the driving force a lot of times by guys trying to, you know, I would get more and more, maybe more graphic detail, but maybe that would be maybe that's something for whenever we form Liberal Dan After Dark, that channel, whenever that channel comes to fruition, so to speak, maybe we can talk about that in a little more detail. Shivan Lane, my doctor had age-appropriate books for us. Yeah, that's perfect. They're perfectly fine. But that's the thing. Like, age-appropriate books, these conservatives want to take these books out of the library, of school libraries, of public libraries. They want to take all these, anything that's age-appropriate out of these libraries because they don't think any of these things are age-appropriate. Because, again, they want to tell parents how they can parent their kids. I should be able to determine what my kids get to take out of the library or not. Not you, not anybody else. It should be me getting to make that decision. Easy over network. My grandpa had copies of Playboy. I mean, I think my dad, when he was divorced, I think I found a couple of his copies of Playboy as well. But, you know. Lace, Florida. I was taught sex ed in elementary school with permission slip from my parents. I mean, in middle school, I did have sex ed, but it was in my religious middle school where I learned sex ed, but it was a Jewish religious middle school, so there was not that taboo. And we talked about, you know, all sorts of, you know, topics of, you know, STIs and stuff like that. So, Lindaloo, what library? They have interwebs. Well, that's true, too. But there are there are areas where libraries are still important. We have a local library by us, and we would bring the kids when they were young to, like, story time at the library and where people would read stories to them. And I think sometimes it would be sponsored by Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. So you had the Chuck E. Cheese rat there. So, Jeff Curry, I used to think Playboy was a pop-up book. I guess I misunderstood what it meant. Easy network. Circumcision is part of the faith, so you should educate people by at least 11 to 12 years old, maybe 13 or 14. I mean, the circumcision for Judaism takes place at 8 days old, not at 13. So I would be much less likely to be circumcised if it took place at 13. Believe you me. So MJ Daniel, my 14-year-old babysitter taught me to kiss when I was not. Wow. That's nuts. That is, I think I had a babysitter when I was 10 or 11, and I think she was 14 or whatever, and she was trying to show me how to get hypnotized, but my dad was still there, and he was like, no, that's not appropriate. So it never happened, but that's crazy. Whisper Mason, that have contributed to the deforestation we experience today. Nice. Anyway, so that's the Ten Commandments thing. So thank you to the ACLU of Louisiana for filing the lawsuit. Of course, we will continue to follow that lawsuit and see how it goes over the course of the next days, weeks, and months. I'm sure it'll make it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we will see. I'm sure since Louisiana did it, I'm sure other states are going to follow suit. and then other organizations will file suit as the other states follow suit. But the other thing to talk about today, of course, is the Juneteenth. And I'll say one thing. Oh, we do have a caller from area code 336. Let's bring that caller on real quick before we get to Juneteenth. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah, so bye, Dan. How you doing? So bye, I've just got a question for you. Is that since you don't have a problem with the sex education being taught in school, so therefore you wouldn't have a problem with guns being taught in school, you know, like well, a weapons class or, you know, like they do in Virginia? I mean, because it's about Second Amendment, you know, educating kids that way, right?
I mean, we had to sign a slip or whatever when my son took his sex education class. So if they wanted to offer, I mean, when I went to Boy Scout camp, I did have a class, and I think there was a provision set to sign there. I mean, if it was decided that there was good, if there was a proper thing to be able to learn there, if people wanted to be able to learn that, I mean, sure, for people to be able to learn how to properly use them, why not? I would have no problem with that if there people wanted to learn that, sure.
Okay, that's just not, well, most liberals would disagree with you, but okay, if you take that stand, okay, I respect that then. Well, thank you. I appreciate you answering my question on that.
How have you been, Joe?
I've been doing all right. How you been? I've been listening to your show faithfully, of course, even though you got me blocked, but that's fine. I still listen, and I appreciate you taking my call. But thanks for asking. I've been doing well.
Well, I didn't recognize your number, but, you know, hey, I figured, you know, I recognized your voice. So, but look, school boards are going to do what they're going to do. I'm sure there are plenty of Louisiana school boards that would be more than happy to have that sort of class or whatever. I mean, again, if the parents sign the permission slip and they're going to turn that, if you're going to teach people how to properly use things, I would love more people to know how to properly use their guns, and maybe we'd have less of the gun problems that we have today.
Amen.
Again,
amen.
As you've listened, have you listened to, you've listened to my show, I don't have problems with people owning guns who shouldn't have a gun. I have no problem with law-abiding citizens owning guns. But I do have problems with things like, you know, I have no problem banning bump stocks. I have no problems, you know, because that's just, the argument behind keeping bump stocks was asinine. The Supreme Court ruling was asinine. I don't have the time to get into that today.
No.
But anyway.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
man.
You know.
Hey, well, no, I just wanted to call in. That was a question. It just got me fired up because most liberals don't think that a gun class in a high school atmosphere is proper, and it's wrong. And I know that's a big debate in Virginia because they do it in some schools in Virginia school districts. And excuse me. And I know liberals are mainly against that. So, but if you're a liberal and you speak, you know, if you're for that, that's interesting. So, but I appreciate you being honest with me. I do. And thank you for taking the call, though. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one, Joe.
All right. Bye.
That was Joseph Gibson. He's run for office before in North Carolina. He's called before to the show several times. Didn't recognize the number. He has, you know, he's misbehaved previously, but whatever. I just wanted to get the call. You know, I didn't know who was calling, so it is what it is. Wait, sorry. That's Trump's line.
It is what it is.
They say as you go further to the left, you get your guns back. There are many people on the left who are very revolutionary who want their guns, who don't want people taking away their guns because they want to be more revolutionary. So I'm sure if, you know, the slaves have their, if the people were coming over on the ships had guns, they'd be less likely to have been taken slaves, which is how we're going to segue back into the Juneteenth conversation that we're going to have. Anyway, so Juneteenth. There are a lot of things, there are a lot of Juneteenth things that I think people don't understand, and I think it's a lot of things that because it's not taught. My school, when I went to elementary school, when I went to middle school, my Jewish parochial school that I went to did a very good job of educating us on you know, Black history, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks. You know, I was grown up to, you know, a lot of us, you know, I think I did several projects on Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was the individual from Black history who I think I admired more, the most of a lot of the people, because I appreciated how much she stood up and stood up against oppression and protested against other people. And that's not to say that I didn't admire Martin Luther King and other folks as well. However, other people, I know one of my friends from school, Mark, I mean, he was very much into doing projects on Martin Luther King. But, you know, here's this little small white Jewish school where it was deemed very important for us to learn about Black history. But because there's a lot of connection between Jewish people and Black people as we've dealt with oppression in this country, there is a lot of the historically Black colleges and universities brought in. A lot of times Jewish people couldn't get into this country unless you had like a job already here. So a lot of historically Black colleges and universities would sponsor Jewish scientists to come teach at their university so they could have, you know, they could have good learned individuals to teach at their schools while helping these people and their families escape the horrors of the Holocaust. Jewish people during the Civil Rights Movement stood side by side. A lot of the white people you would see standing side by side with Martin Luther King, with the other people who would stand up and you know, cross the Pitts Bridge, standing, you know, at the March on Washington. A lot of those people were Jewish because we understood as Jewish people how bad it is to discriminate against people. And it saddens me when I see Jewish people nowadays being racist because, like, have you forgotten your history, right? But even with all of the stuff that we learned about when it came to Black history, I never once learned about Juneteenth at my school. And it's a shame that we never really learned about it because it was a thing since well before I was born. It took me until being an adult to learn about Juneteenth. So it's why it's very important, I think, to talk about it on my show. And since my show falls on Juneteenth, we're going to talk about it for the last 18 minutes of the show. So one of the first things that people don't understand about Juneteenth is it was the day that, it's not the day that slavery ended in the entirety of America. It's the day that slavery ended in Texas. It's the day that basically the general or whatever said, slavery in Texas is done. You're now free. You know, the Emancipation Proclamation may have been stated earlier. In January 1st of 1863 is when the proclamation was stated, but that's when the army got there to Texas and they set up camp on the 17th of June, and then they set up their offices, they put everything up together, they guess printed up their handbills, and then on the 19th is when they said, look, y'all are free. Y'all are no longer slaves. But it's really not as simple as that either. Right, because it's not when slave, even on the news today, I was watching something on the news today where they were talking about Juneteenth celebrates the day that slavery, you know, stopped across the United States. Across the United States, and that's not true. What did the Emancipation Proclamation stop slavery? It stopped slavery in the states of Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, except the parishes of St. Bernard, Plaquemines, Jefferson, St. John, St. Charles, St. James, Ascension, Assumption, Terrebonne, Lafourche, St. Mary, St. Martin, and Orleans, including the city of New Orleans, and then Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, except the 48 counties designated as West Virginia, and also the counties of Berkeley, Accomack, Northampton, Elizabeth City, York, Princess, and Norfolk, including the cities of Norfolk and Portsmouth, and which excluded parts for the present left precisely as if this proclamation were not issued. So what does that mean? So all of those states, by virtue of the power and for the purpose aforesaid, I do order and declare that all persons held as slaves and within said designated states and parts of states are and henceforth shall be free, and that the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authorities, will recognize and maintain the freedom of said persons. Why? So these states were in open rebellion, or states or counties or parishes in these areas were in open rebellion. So they were not part of the United States. They had rebelled against it and were no longer part of the Union. And as such, once we took them over, once the South surrendered, and once the armies took them over, the armies were now in control. So Lincoln basically was like, hey, I have authority as the chief executive of the government and the head of the military to make these rules because we control these areas, but they're still not back in the Union yet. So because they're not back in the Union yet, I have the authority to say these are free. Now, Louisiana, parts of Louisiana were, I guess, back in the Union already. Parts of Virginia, i.e. the parts labeled West Virginia, were already back in the Union because West Virginia was like, no, we don't want to be part of the South. We're going to be part of the Union. So we're splitting from Virginia and making West Virginia. So all of these other areas were not covered by the Emancipation Proclamation. So if there was slavery in those states at the time of the Emancipation Proclamation, then that slavery continued in those states. So the Emancipation Proclamation only covered those rebellious states and not the states of the Union. And then what happened? So once you get to the point, you get to Texas, you get to the summer of 1865, because the Emancipation Proclamation was given January 1st, 1863. So he deemed them free in 1863 because they were in open rebellion, whatever. 1865, in June, the army gets to Texas, takes it over. June 17th is when I think the general gets there, but they set up base or whatever. And then on June 19th is when the General Jordan Granger issues several general orders, including General Order 3. What does General Order 3 say? General Order 3 says, the people are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them become that between employer and hired labor. The freed are advised to remain at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere. So what does that mean? That means that even though they're free, that they're still supposed to stay with the people who enslaved them and work for them. Because the United States is basically like, we're not going to support you. We're not going to give you money. Welcome back, Rose. We're not going to give you money. We're not going to give you help. We're not going to give you aid. So you need to work for wages from your former employers. So, and this is not to begrudge Juneteenth. This is not to say that Juneteenth is a bad thing. Juneteenth should be a celebration. And at the beginning, it wasn't necessarily a celebration. At the beginning, Juneteenth was more of a humble sort of, you know, everybody would sit down and they'd go to church and they'd, you know, they would invite people who were former slaves to come speak of their time as slaves. And then in church, they would sing, you know, some gospels, and then they would maybe have a parade in commemoration of them becoming free. And of course, the going from slave to free is a huge thing. And obviously, it should be commemorated and celebrated, the fact that we took this step as a nation to stop this big sin that we had from day one. But even then, we still weren't completely free as a nation, because we still had slavery in the states that were not in open rebellion. the states that still had slavery. Of course, January 31st, it was passed in Congress, the 13th Amendment. It was ratified December 6th, 1865. We had the 13th Amendment. 13th Amendment is where it is a very small amendment. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. That's all it says. So basically, slavery is banned, asterisk. So we still have slavery to this day in this country. It's just you have to be convicted of a crime. So what did the South do? What did the people in the South do when after we invited all the people back to the South, all the Southern states came back in, we're all one big happy family again, the Southern states, okay, well, since we can't have slaves, since the property owners can no longer have slaves, what we're going to do is we're going to set up vagrancy laws and loitering laws and other type of laws that we can convict people of. And what happens when you get convicted of loitering or vagrancy or some other law that is set up to only be used against black people who no longer have work or whatever and who can't afford to help themselves because they're just newly out of slavery? You then get arrested and convicted in a court for your vagrancy or your loitering or what have you. And then you go to prison and then they put you to work. And then maybe they have you, even though you're working for the state, they have you doing work, and maybe they sell your work out to one of those former slave owners. So now you're still back doing slave work because you're now a criminal. So, because the people who are going to be, people who are terrible, the people who have been there are always going to be terrible. And it's always up to us, the non-terrible people, to fight against the terribleness. Because they're always going to find way to have loopholes. They're always going to find ways to get around the rules and do their horrible things that they want to continue to do. I mean, why did we even need the 13th Amendment? Why was slavery even a thing? Didn't we found this nation on, you know, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? If you had the right to life and liberty, as was written in the Declaration of Independence, why did we need to enumerate that in the Constitution? Shouldn't we have just said, oh, well, if you have the right to liberty, then nobody should be slaves, right? Well, no, because it wasn't enumerated, so therefore we figure somebody could get away with it and make an excuse for it. That's the whole arguments that there were arguments that were made over whether or not we needed a Bill of Rights. Do we need a Bill of Rights? Well, some people argued if we had a Bill of Rights, then people would make the argument that, well, since there's a Bill of Rights, then those are the only rights that we have. And other people are like, well, it's abhorrent, the idea that we should have to list the rights, because our rights are natural rights, and as such, those rights shouldn't have to be enumerated. We should just all understand that these rights exist. But clearly, we didn't understand that those rights existed because we still had slaves at the time. But these people then, okay, well, let's have a compromise. We're gonna make a Bill of Rights. We're gonna enumerate some of these rights that we feel that are important, like the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of self-expression, freedom to bear arms, all that stuff. We're gonna have all of these things that are enumerated, but then we're gonna put in the Ninth Amendment, and say the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And despite the fact that we have the Ninth Amendment to the Constitution that clearly states rights don't have to be enumerated to be a right that we have, we'll still have people like Justice Alito making arguments like he did in Dobbs v. Jackson, saying that just because abortion wasn't enumerated as a right in the Constitution, therefore it's not a right that's protected, and therefore it's something that the states have. So even though we have those words specifically written in the Constitution, people will still ignore it. which is why we did eventually need to enumerate no slavery. But even then, it was no slavery with an asterisk. Thank you, Jolie, for voting that. Again, just to rehash, Liberal Dane Radio, for those that don't know, at the moment, it's Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central here on liberaldaneradio.com, which is the YouTube channel, or twitch.tv/liberaldaneradio. You can support the show by, make sure to subscribe on YouTube, follow on Twitch. You can subscribe for free on Twitch with your Amazon Prime account. Thank you for the subscription, Scoremonger. You can also, subscribe on YouTube for as well. You can become a Liberal Danimal for as little as $2 a month. That gets you some benefits. I post some videos early for early viewership for the people that are members over there. There are also higher levels. You can gift memberships. You can gift subs over on Twitch. There's bits over here. There's stickers and super chats over there. You can buy me a cider. Go to liberaldan.com, click the buy me a cider button, or you can Liberal Dan on the Venmo. It's just Liberal Dan, not radio, or you can scan the QR code as well. Just do friends and family. So let's see. Rima Williams says, this is so true. Democracy is fragile. It takes continuous engagement. Maybe contagious engagement is also a correct way to say it as well. But yes, that is true. What did Alan Ray just say over here? I think I missed something. Underground Railroad, Jeff Curry, people were informed to safe routes and safe places. We also had green books across the South too, where there was books where it was basically if black people were traveling in this after the Underground Railroad, after slavery was over, during the Jim Crow South, you also had green books where it was towns where you could go, where places you can go where it's safe for a black person to go, unsafe for black people to go as well. So there was that also existed there as well. See, Ichabod Deere, they're the ones interpreting the Constitution among the GQP and have been for 4 decades. Karen Castelli, apparently I'm not an equal person. I missed the point though. Men are created equal, not women. Well, that's the line from Hamilton, right? We all hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. But when I meet Thomas Jefferson, I'm going to include women in this equal. So unfortunately, people were not as woke as they are today back then. And if we wrote the Declaration of Independence today, we would have written all persons created equal. If I would have written it, we should amend it. I don't know if people can amend the Declaration of Independence, but we should perhaps form a new document in entrenching rights for all persons and not just men. Let's see, Karen, I never learned about this, nor did I learn about Black Wall Street in high school. Exactly as well. I also did not learn about Black Wall Street in school either. I learned about that later as well. It's unfortunate that those things were not learned about. But we do have 90 seconds left for today's show. Again, I hope y'all come back on Monday. If they come out with the Supreme Court ruling, about the immunity, I'll do a special show on the immunity. Without any special rulings on Trump's immunity, I will definitely be back Monday, 8 p.m. Central, here on liberaldanradio.com and on twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. Thank you again, everybody who followed me and subscribed to me both on Twitch and YouTube, respectively. I also have twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. I do gaming streaming every Tuesday. As we get bigger, there may be more shows every week. There'll be special shows. I also have other videos and other playlists that I'm working on. So make sure to hit the subscribe, not just the subscribe button, but to get notifications on new videos that pop up. Like those videos, comment on those as well. Get those algorithms popping. We're getting up closer to the election. I'm going to have more election content there as well. Until next time, this is Dan Zimmerman, Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.